Good morning. This is the VOA hearing. Today is Wednesday, June 12. The hearing is for petition 8-223-23.
Can't hear her.
It's a volume adjusted microphone, so the more she talks, the louder it'll get.
Let's start over.
Go ahead and start over, Marisol.
Good morning. Today is Wednesday, June 12, 2024. The hearing is for petition 8-223-23. The appellant is Synergy Enterprises LLC, parcel number 1089-301-3335-002. The Board of Equalization is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers to make legal decisions consistent with other federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. The role of this board is to review the evidence and testimony provided by both parties and determine the fair market value of the property as of January 1st of the 2023 assessment year for taxes payable 2024.
So we're not hearing you very well. Is the volume turned up on the... Okay.
The burden is on the appellant to prove their valuation is correct to a legal standard of clear, cogent, and convincing. The hearing is recorded and all testimony is under oath. As clerk of the board, I will ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath.
I see lips moving.
Do each of you who are testifying today affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth?
I so affirm.
Mr. Tavolo?
Didn't hear a word.
Following this hearing.
Well, tell you what, Marisol, since they're having trouble hearing, let me see if I can.
We didn't hear what you said, George, as you were getting up.
Yeah, I'm going to, I'll read it since they're having trouble with her volume. So today is June 12th, 2024. This is hearing is for petition E-223-23. The appellant is Synergy Enterprises LLC. The assessor's valuation for land is $654,590. For improvements in buildings, $4,969,840. For a total of $5,624,430. The Board of Equalization is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with the powers to make legal decisions consistent with other federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. The decision by the board is binding on both the appellant and the assessor's office unless successfully appealed. The role of this board is to review the evidence and testimony provided by both parties and determine the fair market value of the property as of January 1, 2023 for the assessment year 2024. Washington state law gives a presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the appellant to prove their valuation is correct to a legal standard of clear, cogent, and convincing. This hearing is now recorded and all testimony is under oath. And as chair of the board, I'll now ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath. Do each of you who are testifying today affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth?
I so affirm.
Yes.
And about the appellants, I haven't heard, didn't see any. But
Clay?
Chavalo?
Yep. And Clint?
Okay. Okay, and I see we have a couple of other pieces. Mr. Brown?
Yep.
Brown. Yep. Clayton Brown, Marcus and Millichap, based out of Seattle, and I am the current listing agent for the property.
Okay, good. All right. So following the hearing, the board will weigh all the evidence and testimony and make a final determination. The written decision will be issued to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals within 30 days of the decision letter. The board is in receipt of all documentation provided by the appellant and the assessor, and the board has reviewed it. So this is a commercial hearing. We allow about an hour for these. For the first perhaps 20 minutes, I'd like to hear from the appellant, and then we will hear from the assessor, and we may have some questions back and forth along the way. So with that, the appellant may proceed. Oh, yeah.
Peter, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Peter Smith, and just because I currently do some work with Manuel Chavallo on the GISA board, I request to recuse myself from this hearing. If there's no objections.
Done by me. Okay.
Thank you.
So who's presenting from Synergy?
Wait.
Yeah, I guess I can just share my thoughts on what was kind of sent over and just the property from my perspective and give a little bit of a overview of the market and share my perspective about where we've been in the market back when, you know, things were a lot different candidly in 21 and 2022, back when interest rates were, you know, basically half of what they were today. And then just kind of leading up to where we are now, and I can talk about the marketing of the property, the pricing that we've had, the interest that we've had, and the general lack of interest that we've had at the pricing that we're at. And then I'd just like to make just a few comments on the actual report based on all the comps that were provided and the different evaluation metrics that were used. So if you will, I'd love to dive in here.
Go ahead.
Perfect. So I don't know if you guys are familiar with Marcus and Millichap, the firm that I am currently employed at. Last year in 2023, our firm did a total of over $46 billion in transaction volume across the nation. We have over 90 offices nationwide, and we're currently publicly traded on the New York Stock Exchange. And we're a commercial real estate investment sales brokerage firm. So literally all we do is buy and sell commercial property. Me personally, I run a team basically under the umbrella of Marcus and Millichap. We've got 16 total team members, and we're based out of our Seattle office. And my team does a lot of work in specifically Eastern Washington. Myself specifically, over the last 5 years, I've done over $32 million in transaction volume in specifically the Tri-Cities, and just know the market very, very well. So kind of how we got here, obviously coming out of the COVID-19 pandemic, we saw record pricing and transaction volume that was significant, largely fueled by artificially low interest rates. Because of how long the Fed kept interest rates low as kind of relief from the pandemic, inflation took off and exceeded over 9% in June of 2022, as everyone kind of witnessed. And as a result of the high inflation, the Fed responded by increasing their benchmark rate to 5.25% to 5.5%, where it is today. And over a very, very short period of time is when they did that, which was largely unprecedented. Because of that, it largely threw the market out of control, if you will. Interest rates doubled as a kind of a reflex from that. And because of this rapid rise in rates, the market was, thrown off the tracks. And really comparing the first quarter of 2024 to the first quarter of 2022, which I largely call the peak of the market, we've seen roughly a 78% decline in transaction volume. Okay, there still is a significant bid-ask spread between what buyers are willing to pay right now and where sellers are willing to sell at. And that's largely just because buyers, when they're looking at these properties to buy, including Synergy Center, They're saying, well, how can I afford to pay, you know, the cap rate? And we listed the property at a 7% cap rate, but now interest rates are now in the low to high 7% cap rate range. And it sounds like we have another member on the board of GISA in the room, and they can share where they're quoting interest rates right now. And if we were collectively going to be buying a property, say all of us on this call, we would want to have our cap rate be higher than our cost of capital, right? That's called positive leverage. If it's the antithesis of that, if it's the other way around, it flat out just doesn't make sense to buy a commercial property if it is a stabilized asset. I could see if the property was 50% occupied and then you could lease the property up, you could make, you know, a good jump in your NOI by doing that. However, that's not the case right now, and it certainly hasn't been the case with Synergy. With the property, and I noticed in the report that we had, it sounds like the kind of the evaluation, the list price evaluation from the MLS takes into account the price that we had back in 2023 when the property was listed with a firm prior to Marcus and Millichap. And the list price, candidly, was, you know, 5.6 to 5.7. And the property never sold, okay? And as all of us know, right, everyone on this call probably owns a house, right? You could list your house for $1 billion, right? It doesn't matter what you list the property for, it's what it actually sells for that counts. So the property was listed back then, 5.6, 5.7 million, didn't sell, okay? We brought it to market at just over 5.1 million. We've had about 90 days of market time, and we landed to vet the market for the perfect buyer that we're now under contract at just over 5.1 million. And we had several offers, Manuel can testify to this, that were in the mid $4 million range, 4.5, 4.6. Manuel and his partners said, we're not taking that. We need a higher price in order to transact. However, Emmanuel, as you remember, the market spoke. The market value of the deal that the market was saying was in the mid $4 million range after 90 days of market time. Okay, that's right. A significant amount of time. We found the right buyer, the perfect buyer. We call it the unicorn buyer to step up and pay us our full asking price, which was just over 5.1 million. When I'm looking at the, in the report, I'll just a few points that I want to touch on. The kind of the first one is the market value conclusion. And I just want to point out the dates that's quoted there. So that evaluation is dated January 1st, 2023. That was 18 months ago. Okay. That's a significant amount of time given. And we've seen 8 consecutive quarters of cap rates rising because the bid-ask spread is starting to close a little bit as, you know, sellers are moving down in their pricing and buyers are essentially buying properties where they can, where those opportunities come up. However, 18 months ago, evaluations were completely different, and literally all of the comps that were used in this report are older than 6 months. And when I'm valuing a property right now, we really can't use comps realistically that are older than 6 months, just because of how much the market is changing and how much cap rates are really coming up. So I would argue that literally all of the comps that were included should be thrown out. And I sold one of them, actually, the Columbia Center property back in 2019. I was the listing agent for that sale, so I know it very, very well. You know, further, one thing that I wanted to point out as well is there were basically a 6% market adjustment on an annualized basis based on the comps. And I'm really confused at how we're getting at that 6% increase, right, when we're seeing evaluations fall by arguably a 6% amount since the 2019 period. And the market is largely still resetting itself also. So if, you know, whenever you're looking at comps and you're trying to find a comparable property, you really want to look to make sure that it has ample market time, right? It was an arm's length deal. And, you know, we really want to make sure that there was the right competition. So a market value was ultimately derived from the marketing of the property. With Synergy, we had that. We had 90 days and we're under contract to just over 5.1. And I largely feel that at contingency removal, that the buyer is likely going to ask for additional concessions, whether for CapEx, the roof, parking lot, you know, tenants with short-term leases. We could lose another, you know, tenant. And the whole economy is feeling higher inflation right now also. We're starting to see some cracks in the economy if you look at the Fed reports. So it's likely that the buyer coming in is going to have some loss of tenancy. So he's likely going to beat us up for a little bit more pricing. And I think the property might trade realistically around $5 million. So I just want to open up some dialogue between us and the professionals that put together the report. You guys did a great job at kind of aggregating the data, but I just wanted to share my perspective, actually being in the trenches and selling properties that are highly comparable to this and kind of just what I'm hearing from buyers. Because I don't think it's fair to use properties that were really in the past in a totally different market as where we're at now. So I'll give the floor back to you guys. That's kind of my two cents, and I'm happy to discuss anything that I mentioned just now.
All right.
Let me raise a point or a question here. Now, I heard all what you said of what the market is today, but our evaluations are that we have to judge on are for 1/1/23. Is that correct, George, the assessor?
Yes.
So we're not talking what it is today. We're talking a year and a half ago, the number we're looking at. I just want to make sure that's clear in my head.
Yes, it is. Yes. And what I would like the assessors to do is speak to why that's the case. Why do we assess a year and a half ago?
Well, we assess every year. So the lien date is 1/1/2023. That's the price that's the assessed value that we're discussing today. Not 1/1/24. We're discussing 1/1/2023. So yes, 18 months ago, that's the assessed value for taxes payable this year that we're discussing today. I think it's been, you know, something that hasn't been communicated to everybody, but this assessment date has nothing to do with today. And yes, right. Mark, I agree. The market has changed.
Mark, can you explain why it's 1/1/23?
Does
it come out of the wax in RCW?
It's legislated that it's every year, and then there's a process. If there's a contention in the value, you know, I mean, it does. I mean, that date is set by the state. You know, this is for market value on that day. And I mean, that's set forth in statute. You know, we can talk about 1/1/2024. When the assessed value for 1/1/2024 comes out, which hasn't come out yet.
Right.
And the main, another main reason is we don't have the complete data until the end of the year. So there's no way for us to compile the data for 1/1/24 until 1/1/24 is over. And by then we don't have time to do it in a day. So that's why it lags a year behind.
And we are
not only that, but what happens if you recall your assessment actually went out in September of 23. So the assessors have from 1/1/23 to 9 something of 23 to do their process and complete their assessments, and then they're then mailed out. You then, you know, you guys then filed an appeal probably shortly after that. And now today we're here talking about that appeal. So the day, you know, Chuck is right. The day that we're talking about, the assessment date as of, is January 1st, 2023, even though market conditions are different today. Now in the past, of course, you guys would be arguing the other way, right? When the market was rising, you wouldn't want to be talking about current market conditions. You'd want to be, you know, relying on trying to find prior sales. So it's just a, you know, a fact of life of how the process has to work.
And I would say, one thing I would say is on that value, that 1/1/23 value, that's obviously going to be based off older comps, because, you know, from 22 and 21, because that's the only way.
And in different, for ad valorem taxation, it is stated in statute that we can use sales up to 5 years old and up to 6 months beyond the assessment date, as long as we time tune those. Those trends are developed by studies that we do, which are included, the double sales study in the land and the double sales study in the improved properties. And that's how those.
I think that's fine. So why don't you guys cover your report?
Okay, so we look at the local market. We're not going into all these other areas. So we looked for land in the area, and we found our five comps here. Let's see, they're almost $16 a square foot to just over $24 a square foot, and we valued it at $1,342. That's $650 to $750 per square foot under the mean and median. This is just a test of reasonableness, and we think we've reached that standard in our view. The next couple pages on here, pages 5, 6, 7, or 9, and we have pictures and we'll show about the area.
Can you briefly speak to the distance of these sales, these land sales from the Synergy Center?
Yeah, the first one's pretty close. It's just kind of around the Synergy, and you go up past the park there, and this is the other side of the park.
Right. So, I mean, less than a mile, would you say?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The second one is on Clearwater.
Maybe 2 miles away.
Yeah, around 2 miles, did you say?
Yeah, probably as the crow flies, yeah.
Right. And the third one is basically, it's just a little bit further down. It's also on Clearwater. And that one is right, I think, was where the Shelby Flowers is going in.
Clearwater and Kellogg.
Yeah, it's right there.
Yeah, so maybe 3 miles at that point, I don't know.
Yeah,
somewhere around there, 2.5.
A couple miles.
Yeah.
Our fourth sale is just down the road of 395. It's where the Spokane Teachers Union is. On Harbor right. Branch.
And yeah. There.
So that's.
Yeah, less than a mile.
Yeah. Yep. And then our fifth sale is down on 7th and 395. So that's not.
Maybe a mile. Far.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Okay, so then I'm just going to jump over to the sales approach, unless you have any more questions on the land.
No, I just wanted to clarify that the land sales were in close proximity to the subject property.
Yeah.
Okay.
So our sales
proceed. So which page are you on now?
Okay, our sales, that's going to be on page 12.
12, right, okay.
I think that we got a pretty good group of sales here. The closest comparable is over $25 per square foot more than we have on the subject. And the subject is $68 less below the median, or below the median, I guess, and $81 below the mean.
Some of these properties are a little further away, right?
Yeah, they're a little further away, but finding an office building that's comparable, there's not a lot in that area.
Right.
But they're still within the county.
Your number two Zentel Way is just right there, though. This
yeah, number two is really close.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
On through page 18. Did you have any questions on that? Okay. So then we're just I'll just jump over to the income approach. They gave us this set of information. I think they turned that into you guys as well. But we went online.
Right.
We found that they were advertising online with a different set of information. The numbers didn't match up.
Using the set you found online then rather than the evidence submitted?
Yeah, we found this one that was online. We included it in our packet, the one that we found online. It's the same as of date and everything, and the numbers aren't the same as what the packet that they gave us.
Let me just jump in there. That's because you can, to my point, you can list any property at any price that you want, but where is it actually going to trade? As mentioned to you, we were getting offers left and right in the mid $4 million range.
But that doesn't change your basic information that you had in there. We can get into that later. The income is different.
What was different? Okay, so the, on page 19, we're seeing their leases apparently. Right? So was that the same or different from what was in their submission?
If you jump over to page 24, I highlighted everything in red is different than what they have on one sheet than the other sheet. And it's quite a bit of operating statements are different.
So the leases are the same, obviously.
Their year bill, yeah, the leases are the same, but like their most of their operating statements are different on how much they for potential reimbursement income, management fee was different. The schedule base was different. Jump over in here, the maintenance repair was different. It's just a whole different set of numbers than what they gave us. So it really puts doubt.
Numbers generally higher. Was the revised numbers or the online numbers generally higher or lower than your number, than the original numbers?
They were just, it was just a scattering. There, some were higher, some were lower.
Okay, all right.
The cap rate was different. There was just all kinds of different things that was different on there. I mean, even the square footage, it had different. So,
you wouldn't think the square footage would change, right?
Yeah. So we believe that the cap rate should be closer to 6%. If you turn over to our page 27, we had a certified general give us some of this information here. And we have a list of RCAP rates on here. And these are all local ones. They're not scattered all over the state. And that would be the ones that were listed here. And I put pictures and stuff down, page 27, 28, and 29. And it ranges from 4.6% to 6.2%.
Okay. Yes, and obviously that was at a time when interest rates were much, much lower, right?
No.
Well, it's at summer 2023. You know, they show the dates there. You know, between
21 and 23. Right. Yeah. So interest rates were, you know, down to practically zero at that point, but at least in the 21 numbers.
Yeah.
I think at 23, they'd already started rising.
Yeah, they started rising in March of 2022.
Well,
right.
I mean,
yeah.
And the last one there was May of 2023, and it's still at 6.2%. And you know the issues with that building up there, because that one was on our page 29. So, okay. So let's see.
Oh, that's the North Richland one we talked about recently. Okay. Yeah.
So we think we think it's reasonable the six percent. It's still
at that time it was
as of the lease, yes.
Right. Okay.
And the property was listed at that time, correct?
Yes.
Daniel, do you know what cap rate it was listed for back when James Wade had the listing?
No, I'm sorry, Clay. I don't recall. But it was listed at the 5.6. You're right. Yeah.
Okay. So the property didn't sell, and it was listed right around the value that you guys are saying that it is, though, right?
Right.
What are your guys' thoughts on that point? Because it says in the MLS that it was listed in February of 2023 for the $5.7 million.
That's after our effective date. So our stuff will be prior to that.
Plus, it was just listed.
There is an expectation that it is going to take some time to sell. I mean, properties don't sell immediately. I mean, you're aware of that. I mean, what are you seeing for marketing time for a property in that price range? 18 months?
Depends. We sell properties where they don't even hit the market. Sometimes they take, I just did a deal that took 3 years. It largely depends.
But there is a median.
I can tell you it depends on the pricing. If it's grossly overpriced, the property will not sell quickly.
Well, we're not basing it off the listings. We're basing it off the local sales. And that's what we do. We certainly look at listings for the trends and everything, but as of the lien date, those are the sales that we had that were local, and we do look at regional cap rates and such, but those were all lower at that time.
Can you guys just real quickly just chat about the 6% kind of bump? And I think you did chat about it, but I couldn't really hear that well. So you're basically this, talk about the 2019 comp where it's like the 6% increase over time. Can you talk about how you arrived at that 6% and where that number comes from?
Yeah, there's a double sales study included in the appendix. And that indicates a much more than 6% increase. And double sales study shows properties that sell and then sell again within a reasonable amount of time. And so a property that would be disqualified if it had improvements done in between, anything beyond maintenance. So if they did a major remodel, we wouldn't use that double sale, but a property that sold and then sold again, we would use those double sales studies to indicate the percentage increase. And we look at that over, actually, we've been doing that for more than 5 years here, looking at land, looking at different kinds of improvements, multifamily, office, retail, different kinds of properties. And that's included there, indicating what page is that on in the appendix. I don't have it open right here.
Yeah, the double sales.
But that's how we come up with that number.
Yeah, and, page 13, yeah. 13, 14.
And you look at the, the indicated appreciation on that is in the double digits. And just to be reasonable, we only do six.
Just to clarify, this is for commercial vacant land.
He was saying it's for land only, and I said there's one for land.
There's one for land and one for improvements. It's not just vacant land. We have the sales study for vacant commercial land. We have another one for development land that's, large tracts of land that are, destined to be chopped up and made into lots. That's a different animal. The ones on this sales study are prepared lots.
Stephen, somewhere I thought I read that the property was listed for $5,750,000 in February of 23. Is that your understanding?
Where's the appendix?
Yeah, that's correct. That's noted in page 37 in the addenda.
Okay.
Under the MLS listing.
Right. So my point here is in February of 23, which is after the assessment date of January 1 of 23, you believed the property was worth $5,750,000, right? So that's above the assessed value of $5,600,000 and change, $5.6 million and change. So
that's what James Wade believed it to be.
That's right.
And again, you can list a property for any price that you want.
I can list my house for
$1 billion today if I wanted to, but it's not worth that much.
We knew that.
Yeah, and I don't know who James Wade was, but somebody, and you guys bought into it. The owners bought into that price, selling it at that price.
We listed it for $5.7 million. hoping we'd get an offer, knowing that it would be less than that. But that's just what James Wade recommended we do. Now, okay. We didn't think we'd get 5.7, but we were shooting for the moon.
Right. Which but you would have settled for 5 million, 5.6 million and change probably at that time. Yes, we would.
Absolutely. Yeah, so, we just wanted to get into negotiations and hoping right. to get as much as we could.
So, I mean, that's our point, right? As of January 1 of 23, there was general agreement that the price was around that 5.6, 5.7 million-dollar range. I mean, you haven't given us, if you recall what we said at the beginning of the hearing, the state of Washington gives the assessor the presumption of correctness. And to overcome that presumption of correctness, the appellant, you guys, have to provide us, the board, with evidence to a legal standard of clear, cogent, and convincing. And that's a very high standard. If you put it in percentage terms, if you think you've heard of preponderance of evidence, and that's either, depending on how you round, either 50.1% or 51%, you probably heard of beyond a reasonable doubt, and that's probably something greater than 95%. And clear, cogent, and convincing is somewhere in that 80 to 85% percentage range. So, I mean, it's a very high standard. And what you're bringing us is telling us what the situation is today, which is not really relevant to what the situation was on January 1, 2023, which was the assessment date. And that's what I'm trying to suss out here, because you guys had some belief that the property was worth in that 5.6, 5.7 range at the time you listed it. I mean, even with the understanding it might have been sold for slightly less, but, you know, at that time, the market was probably starting to soften, you know, because we're now getting close to the point where the Fed started raising rates. I think you said, what was it, in February of 23?
They started raising rates in March of 22.
Okay, so the Fed had already started raising rates at that
point. We were well into the elevated interest rate environment.
Yeah, they ran it up very quickly, I remember. So
we're well into it. That's why nothing was selling back in January of 2023.
Right. Yeah, the Fed is beating again today and we're likely to keep interest rates steady again. In fact, the current speculation is they probably won't lower it till the day after the election. So. Okay, I think we understand both parties. So, Chuck, do you have any questions?
No.
Okay, Peter has recused himself. I have no further questions. Any further comments from either party?
No.
Nope.
Okay.
I don't have anything else. They made it clear it's January 1st, 2023, and we're in a completely different market now. So.
Understand.
Next year's evaluation is definitely going to be lower.
Going to be so different. We can leave it at that. Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, this is what the state legislature has decreed, and so this is either law or statute. So we don't have any choice in that matter, and the assessor doesn't have any choice in that matter. So, okay, Marisol, let's go ahead and close it here.
Hold on, this is Manuel. I just want to go on record to say that, when we were notified of this significant increase, it obviously put a burden on our business, because now we have to pass it on, and we're concerned it's going to affect some of the tenants we have, and it could negatively affect them. But we only had a certain amount of time to respond based on the letter that we got from the county, and we responded. We aren't experts in this area or this arena. We responded with the information we had at the time. Yes, as your staff pointed out, some of it was incorrect. We were just reeling from it, because we don't do this every day like you guys. This is your job. It's not our job, and we requested this extension to give us another month and a half, so we have an opportunity to really dive into what you, your final assessment that was presented to the Board of Equalization about 10 minutes before the deadline of the 30-day requirement. So we didn't have time to respond. So I feel it a little bit at a disadvantage that we didn't have a chance to really become more experts in this arena. And so I'm just a little frustrated because, you know, you're relying on statutes. I get it. That's fine. But the reality is that, you know, it could harm our business. So I'm just going on record that I'm concerned.
Understand. Let's see, there was something. Yeah, again, you know, for those kinds of situations, you know, that's something you need to talk to your legislatures about. Maybe you can get them to do it. But they've obviously done this purposefully. They've given the assessor the clear advantage, you know, and they have made the dates, you know, these dates that are created, you have this 1 month date. Again, that was by the legislature. So they have made it very difficult for appellants to prevail in the situation. Some do prevail, but you have to have really good evidence.
Are we able to request to have an appraisal, a review once again based on January 2024 numbers?
Next year. So you'll get another assessed value probably in September of 24, just a few months from now. And you will have the opportunity to then appeal that number just like you did this. Also, you have the opportunity to appeal our decision within 30 days of the date of our letter that comes back to you to the State Board of Tax Appeals. And that is a de novo hearing. That means starts all over, fresh evidence. But it's going to be the same conditions, right? January 1, 2023. And you would have to have evidence to support a lower valuation as of that date. And that's not what I'm hearing here. So, but yes, next year, when you receive the assessment letter, and based on what you're telling me now, it's likely the value will be lower, right? Assessors, one more point. You know, there was a fairly large jump in the valuation. Was this part of the 6-year reval process?
Yeah.
Can you speak to the appellant about how that works?
Well, we look at the ratio studies, which is the ratio. The ratio studies are basically, we look at how things are selling, and our assessments, and see where that ratio sits, because we're required by statute to be at 100% of market value. And we do make adjustments, and we do periodically, you know, annually, we just do that. We look at the statistics, but then every 6 years, we have the opportunity to go much deeper into the market and reevaluate the land values and reevaluate everything. So sometimes there is, bigger jumps at certain times because of that cycle, that scheduled physical inspection cycle and revaluation that we do, and that is because, you know, we have 86,000 properties. We can't, you know, do a fuller appraisal on every one of those properties every single year. So there are statistical things that we can do every year, and then every 6 years we do that deeper analysis.
And that's basically the reason you saw a large 1 year jump is because of that deeper dive that they did for this assessment year. We see that in other properties too. We see that happen in residential properties as well, and homeowners get upset about that, and but you know, suggests maybe their statistical process isn't working quite well. But so it's unfortunate, but that's what happens, and I would fully expect with 2023, so you would be, the next year would be as of 1/1/24, which is already passed, and you're speaking to the current situations, but presumably 1/1/24 would be softer than it was in 1/1/23. So, yeah, but you have another chance to appeal next year. You can appeal every year if you want. So we have some that do that. Okay. Anything further? Hearing nothing. Marathon, let's go ahead and close the hearing and then we will deliberate.